composer Donald Byrd on trumpet with Slow Drag. It's really one of my favorites. With Cedar Walton on piano, Sonny Redd on alto sax, Billy Higgins on drums, and Walter Badir on bass. This is the title track of Donald Byrd's 1967 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we begin the week. with noting some very interesting milestones. Milestone number one is that this is the 24th day of Donald Trump's shutdown of federal services. Inconveniencing, of course, more than 800,000 workers. It also marks the longest shutdown in U.S. history. And something interesting is happening. Despite all the mouth, all the threats, and all the bravado that the president comes to any particular issue with, it seems that somewhere, somehow, a message has gotten to him that he better show like he has some sense. So he's trying to, if you look at the tone of the news, he's backpedaling real fast. But he can't be seen as, you know, losing face. You know, so, but you can see that the president has come to realize that he's in a no-win position. This was a stupid move on his part. He hadn't thought it out well. And although he took great care to tell the American public how resolute he was about staying the course for as long as it would take for Congress to give up $5.7 billion to build this wall on the Mexico border, people went about their business. They were very angry, of course, but the workers kept their faith, and they kept their heads. You know, they didn't engage in violent reaction, and they dealt with it, and still are dealing with it, being unemployed while being compelled to work for no pay. And in the meantime, there was, it seemed, a groundswell of support. People pointed squarely at Donald Trump as the villain here, doing something really stupid. This was just so stupid and so completely avoidable and so baseless. It's a baseless contention that the traffic must be stopped from the southern border into the United States. Now, a couple of things you could argue. One is even his own people, his own Homeland Security people, the folks who study these things, had indicated to him that that's not how drugs are coming into the country. They're coming in at the airport. They're coming in by private yacht. They're coming in by little boats. They're coming in under the cover of religious groups. So even if you were to build this so-called border, it will not make a significant dent in in the flow of drugs into the United States from anywhere else. The second thing is that at this moment in time, it seems foolhardy to take this measure, demanding that you would, as president, be able to put your hand into the till and take 5.7 billion, and that's just for a wall, which of course has been proven, the prototype wall. Well, somebody took a saw to it and created a big hole in it. So it's not an impenetrable wall. You have no real policy. The country has no real policy when you look at it. From state to state, the policy, the drug policy differs. But from the point of view of, if you were to ask this president, what exactly is the US's drug policy? He wouldn't be able to tell you. So this president is comfortable. You know, he's running the country the way he's run his businesses, that is to say, right into the ground, many of them. You don't need a policy. You don't need to think things through. Just give me the money. Because after all, it is a stick up. Give me the money, and I won't kill everybody in the bank. So he has begun to get very sizable hints that he's not the genius that he thinks he is, and neither are those people who supposedly are advising him on this. He's making horrendous mistakes on top of horrendous mistakes. If you're going to undertake something this massive as a project, the people should be given some kind of explanation as to how these things would work. Certainly, members of Congress, the ones who will sign off that, yes, this is a major crisis, a wall is immediately needed, and this constitutes a major crisis. The answer is no. It's not a major crisis. What is a major crisis is the humanitarian fallout from failed US policies, especially around drugs coming into the country. That's a failed crisis. But we have Trump insisting he knows everything. Everybody needs to do exactly as he says. He does not need to confer with Congress. All they need to do is to sign off and say, okay, you got your 5.7 billion. Now, then there would be the other side. So you get your wall, but you have no personnel. You have no judges to hear these cases. You have no place to put individuals who might have been caught in this activity. Where are you going to put them? How are you going to house and feed them? How do you observe international law? Because you see, what he's selling is that everybody crossing the border is a criminal. Now, these are some odd criminals, don't you think? Who would expose themselves to being identified? Who would come across the border and fill out forms? This is not your typical kind of criminal. They're filling out forms and making requests and expect to be reviewed, the applications for refugee status. Obviously, these are not people who, for the most part, are criminals. Criminals have no use to come in and fill out forms. They don't fill out forms. But just the same, over the weekend, a very clear signal that Mr. Trump is about to eat some crow. And I'm just waiting to see how he choreographs that, because, of course, he still has to win. How will the Democrats go along with some kind of a plan to get him out of this deep hole that he's in? He has very little credibility here in the United States and around the world. He's lost this fight, but I don't want to speak too early because you never know. But from what I'm seeing, he's lost the fight. And there are more protests to come in terms of employees, federal employees. And then there will be the question of how they are to be paid. So this has a little ways to go. It's not over yet, but we are seeing some signs that this president is about to have a little crow on his dinner plate. Now, if we understand Mr. Trump, if he loses at one thing, he's going to make sure he gets even at another thing. He's going to ramp up attacks on another thing. He just cannot let the record reflect that he lost. He's a very sore loser. So he'll come up with something to make up for the loss on this immigration fight. Well, he's already signaled that Venezuela is a good target. And he's begun to yammer about the need for a new government in Venezuela. President Nicolas Maduro has got to go. He's so bad. He's so awful. And sometimes you wonder, as Trump says these things, whether he's actually hearing himself. But he's been singing, he and his minions, the people who believe themselves to be in charge of the entire world, and the whole world has to do as they command. He's now singing the tune that Nicolas Maduro must go. Here's the problem I'm having with that. Again, we should never tolerate that kind of language from a president, because that is a direct threat to the president of a sovereign state, whether you like him or not, whether you, quote, approve of him or not. He was elected president, and he is the head of a sovereign state. And here, the president of the United States is acting, again, like a bully. He is speaking to Americans in a language that is offensive at so many levels, you can actually lose count. You don't get up in public, in a public forum, and use your media, your sycophantic media, and basically make the case, you think, that the head of state of another country is to be done away with. Pardon me and my simple mind, but I thought that that kind of behavior was against the law. It certainly is against, it's bad form. But look, nobody is saying anything. The president and his people are clamoring every day now for the ouster, or that is whatever, by whichever means, whether I suppose that would include assassination. That would include, quote, intervention, unquote. But the president of the United States has made no qualms. And he's perfectly comfortable, and this country is perfectly comfortable with a president of the United States calling for the ouster of a duly elected president of a sovereign state. Why should that bother us? Because, number one, it's really poor, thuggish behavior. But beyond that, there are rules at the international level that countries must observe with each other. They're not supposed to be talking like this. This is not okay. It is, in effect, propagating the demise, whether by death, assassination, or even by rebellion, inciting people to rebel, because you don't want him there. And this president has done this several times. Congress has not reined him in on it. His party certainly hasn't reined him in on it. In fact, many of the party leadership have joined Trump, have echoed the same sentiments. He needs to go. Venezuela does not need him. Venezuela needs somebody else, somebody more amenable to us. Somebody we like. But I'm aghast at the fact that we have this kind of talk being openly discussed. They're not hiding it. Although one would have thought that this was a crime. This is a crime. To seek to aid and abet the death or demise of a leader, which is none of your business. And even if it were, to presume that you can tell, you are uniquely qualified to tell people who should be their leader. Well, of course, let's make the analogy. Knowing what you know of Donald Trump, who in their right mind would say he's the perfect leader for this country? But this is a daily mantra. The media keeps to almost like a schedule, almost every day. You're seeing stories. They're not complimentary about Nicolas Maduro. In other words, they're prepping us for basically having no sympathy here. If something really bad should befall this man, bad and suspicious. And the United States and its whole apparatus of government simply doesn't seem to have the capacity to remind the president that what he's engaging in is aiding and abetting the downfall of a duly elected head of state. Now, some people will say, well, that's between Trump and Maduro. I say no. It is between Trump and every single American and every single party member. You can't have a president behaving like a goon and a thug, and that is acceptable, as if you can't tell that that is just absolutely and patently wrong. And it is. So what are we prepared to do? We have to press our representatives in Congress. This president cannot mouth off like this, because in mouthing off this way, this reckless disregard for the consequences of his actions, he's putting, now here's a good example, he's putting the lives of every single American at risk. What if you say, well, let's just say you take a country that doesn't really like this kind of talk, that doesn't have a history of tolerating this kind of talk. Let's say North Korea. And this non-thinking president starts talking about the need for new leadership in North Korea and how he will support new leadership in North Korea. Well, in diplomatic talk, that means it is not outside the realm of possibilities that a country that is talking about the need for new leadership and all of this kind of stuff, it is not outside the realm of possibilities that such a country wants to attack or wants to fund and support an attack. Now, what if that country reads it that way and says, well, we're not going to just sit here and wait till your bombs start falling. We will take preemptive measures. We will take preemptive strikes. This is how world wars start. This is how horrible wars start. Loose talk. So our president is getting away at this very moment with behaviors that are a threat, a direct threat to the safety, the collective safety of the country and its citizens. We should not have that. He needs to be told publicly. He knows he's breaking the law, but he doesn't care. And the lack of reaction and the lack of discipline by Congress just further endorses the view that he could do anything he wants. I tell you, this is a very scary time Would not a country or a leader targeted the way Donald Trump is targeting Venezuela and its leader? Would such a country not be within its rights to take appropriate action preemptively? So he's provoking military action. And we in the United States, who will suffer consequences when the reaction goes beyond, you know, a certain limit. People say, okay, we've had it, but we've had enough evidence that what the United States intends to do is to imminently attack us. And we have to be ahead of them. So we attack first. It's not going to be, there'll be no winners. But I'm explaining the fact that our commander-in-chief is being exceedingly reckless, and his advisors and people in Congress, in the U.S. Senate, exceedingly reckless in allowing or permitting this president to engage in this level of saber rattling. We should not tolerate it at all. It should be condemned, because he's basically, you know, he's begging for war. He wants a war. He wants people to get excited about engaging in war, especially with an adversary that isn't necessarily as well equipped as the United States is militarily. But here's the interesting thing about these kinds of developments. You would find, and we as the United States will be surprised to find, many countries coming to the aid of Venezuela or any other country that appears to be unjustly attacked. This is what we have to remember. This is not a small issue at all. So the third thing I want to talk about is going back to the wall. I should have included it in the first instance. But apart from everything else, with this wall, and this is where Trump is going to find out that he has met his match. The land that this wall is supposed to bisect is Native American land. It hasn't even come to the attention of the public that we have a president that has absolutely no respect. Just put up a wall. What do we care? These are the ancestral lands of a couple or several Native American bands. You have no respect for that? You're just going to order your bulldozers and your backhoes to dig holes in the ground and make themselves a wall, divide up their ancestral lands. This is one hell of a president. And we ought to give him a run for his money. We ought to let him know that no matter how powerful he thinks he is, we know that he and his administration have no respect, no respect for other people, not for their customs, not for their traditions, and not for their lands. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll take a little break here and come back to your comments at 888-874-4888 right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm just skimming as I look at my list the surface of all the things that we should be talking about, but it's okay. We'll come back and talk some more tomorrow, but let's complete some things today, finding out what it is that strikes you as important to consider about the president's conduct and what we ought to be doing. I point these things out to say, gone are the days, at least this is how we should be thinking, gone are the days where we let this stuff happen and we do nothing about it, not even discuss it. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good morning to those on the West Coast, and good afternoon to those on the East Coast. I just have a few comments, Eutrice. Do you know of any federal worker that is legitimately a federal worker that says that the president should stay the course with this wall?
I'm sure there are some, but I think even if there are some, the vast majority have taken umbrage at the president for causing them this much inconvenience and using them in a way as guinea pigs to see just how much power and authority, unilateral power and authority that the president can exercise without having to pay a cost.
The other question is that, and I don't want to misquote the president, but he wants to put up this wall because of national security, because of so many miscreants coming across the border, correct?
Yes, what he says, and it is a wrong and inaccurate statement.
Yeah, of course, of course. Of course, that was his statement, that's what I said. Now, if that's the case, then why is it the Coast Guard is also suffering for this?
Well, the Coast Guard will have to patrol the shores.
Yeah, but they're not being paid.
No, they're not getting paid. So they're being treated like any other federal employee at this time.
Which is exactly my point. How could you be considering security and you're cutting the Coast Guard and then telling them to sell, have a garage sale and the whatever? So he's contradicting contradiction.
Well, this is what happens when you have a mind that is not in good working order. But we're getting a sense that people, more and more people, especially the unions, because that was a major criticism of mine, that they understand that they have to make a stand here, and it's not about President Trump. It's about what the president is doing, abusing his powers,
mm-hmm.
and disobeying the law. So I'm glad to see that there is some movement there. And we
and lastly, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but lastly, if I may add, I mean, this is still the third planet from the sun. I believe I'm still on planet Earth. Didn't he say, President Trump, on this planet, didn't he say that Mexico was supposed to pay for this wall?
Yes, he did. He made, in fact, that was the first argument he made. Because, he's such a good negotiator, and he is so convinced of his powers. No little flimsy country is going to stand up to him. Mexico
right.
is going to pay for that wall. Okay.
Right, that's
it's not
Utrice, that's like me saying coming as Utrice, I'm looking at some wood paneling right now in my house. Utrice, you're gonna pay for it. How am I gonna make you pay for it?
In his warped mind, this is logical thinking. And nobody
got checked on it. And for those African-Americans, Haitians, or Africans who voted for him and said Hillary Clinton should be president, remember, in conclusion, he said that they were S House nations. I conclude. Thank you.
Thank you. As whole nations, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. I hope all is well, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. Same to you, Patricia. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you. You know, it's really interesting when you listen to Trump, and I don't do that very often, but I was just scanning my website this morning, and what was interesting, there were actually five headlines about Trump this morning, and the headlines read as follows. Trump threatens Turkey. Trump lashed out at Mulvaney at meeting. Trump slams Jeff Bezos. He, as quiet as it was kept, Utrice, I think they were listening to you, the FBI was, when they very quietly engaged in an investigation as to whether our boy was playing with a full deck. It's just that they didn't make that known to us. So clearly, we are not the only ones who are saying that maybe he is not playing with a full deck and needs to be scrutinized. And the idea that everything about him is, when I get into trouble, it's somebody else's fault. It's never my fault. Somebody else is doing this to me. Oh, let me deflect and refocus on somebody else. We have acknowledged that this boy has a serious psychiatric illness, and what we do about it is the next step. And I'm really gratified to see the unions beginning to step up. And then the next thing I'm hoping to see is Americans in the streets in the same way that the people in France were in the streets, because that's the only thing that's going to save us. Everybody mobilizing in the streets.
Absolutely. I believe that. And I'm gratified to see that there is some movement here. And more so, I mean, a guy just tells you his state of mind. You don't attack your FBI. You do not attack your own FBI, which is what he's been doing. So he has not earned too much love from the FBI. He's just decided that it makes him look good. It makes him look like a strong leader. A pretty stupid one, but to go and, you know, get into a fight with the FBI, which has 500 different ways of making your life miserable, you don't do that.
And if you believe everything that was reported over the weekend about the fact that they literally opened an investigation into him, which required the approval of individuals at extremely high levels, this was unprecedented.
Absolutely. Thanks, Patricia. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
How are you doing, Utrice?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay.
I think it's high time that we need to call on labor and we need to call on all people of good conscience to shut this country down. We need to walk out. We need to shut this country down. When I was a child, I remember when Reagan did PATCO, and my father honestly believed that the airport was going to close the next day, and he was shocked that he didn't. He was a union rep in AFL-CIO out there for Pan American Airlines. And now is the time to shut this country down. This man is ridiculous. He's a clown. I have friends overseas from when I was in the service, and America is a laughingstock. He is turning this country into a joke. And we need to respond. We need to shut this country down. Walk out of every profession, every trade, from fast food cook to doctor. Just shut it down. To let these politicians know that we're not tolerating this anymore. It borders on lunacy now, the way this guy is. And like you said, with Venezuela, he's provoking an attack. And there are enough nuts out there that one or two just might feed into this idiot. And you don't know what's going to happen. We need to shut this country down, man. It's time. Shut it down. Shut it down. For a day, a week, a month, shut it down. That is it.
But we also have to have plans. Okay, so let's say there's a shutdown. What is the plan after that?
Well, I demand impeachment and removal of this guy. Impeachment and removal, and I know Pence is not a good choice, but if we get that much power, then get rid of him too, because the man is a clown. He's a total imbecile, and he's making and he's causing more grief than we even know. Not even to say, for the judges that he's put in, these policies are going to carry on well into the future, and the planet is at stake. I mean, just recently in scientific reports, they were doing evaluations at the bottom of the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest point in the oceans in the world. It's 5 miles down. It takes the Alvin submersible 4 hours to float from the surface of the ocean to the bottom of the ocean, and they found plastic. Plastic, yes. At the bottom of the Marianas Trench. You know what I'm saying? This planet is becoming polluted at its core. And if you believe in the concept of Gaia, you know, what goes around comes around. There's no guarantee that humans need to be here unless we take some stewardship of the planet. There have been 5 major die-offs in the 4 billion years this planet has existed. There were animals that were the size of skyscrapers that are no longer here, and they were here for eons. There's no guarantee, man. Man only been here less than 100,000 years. Ain't no guarantee you got to be here. And we're not helping it. Got to shut this guy down, totally. Shut him down.
Thank you. Thanks for your opinion. You. Lincoln from New York, you're on the air. Hello, Lincoln, you're on the air. Okay, David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
You know, all these discussions about impeaching Trump and so forth, and I guess you'll get Pence to replace him if you impeach him. I don't know if things will be much better. But what comes to my mind is a number of things. For example, you spoke about the media, the newspapers, and what they're doing, ganging up on Venezuela and whatnot, getting people ready for the replacement of Maduro, I guess preferably by death, overthrowing his government. That's something that should bring to mind that this is an empire. This is a fascist empire that we live in, the United States. And little Maduro and Venezuela, they're not, towing the mark. So they have to be brought into line. And that's what an empire does. It keeps all the smaller countries in line. So, that should bring it home to everyone that we don't live in a so-called democracy. We live in an empire that is stretched all over the world, and that's an important thing that we should go away with. I believe that, it might be good to get Trump out of there. Maybe, they bring in the vice president and so forth. But that does not change the system that we live in. We live in a capitalist system that is doing very well for itself and doing its job to confuse people. And that's going on all the time, and maintaining power for itself, and doing what it needs to do is make money more and more and more as, the masses of people get poorer and poorer. So, we can, give our attention to President Trump's histrionics and all the other things he says that don't make sense, but we got to put our attention on changing into a system that benefits the needs of the people who live in this country. What kind of place is it that we call a democracy where people have to get food handouts at food pantries and soup kitchens and get so-called SNAP or food stamps and what? I mean, this is ridiculous. And this is the most, this is the wealthiest country in the world. And we have people who are suffering for basic needs like housing and health care and education. So that's what we should be concerned with, changing a system that does not benefit the people who live here. It benefits principally the people at the very top. And, that's what I'm concentrating on, not thinking about, the histrionics of Trump all the time. I don't give that much energy to it. Or some nonsense about the Russians won the election for him and all kind of foolishness. I mean, I listen to people talking about that, and they're forgetting that the United States involves themselves in people's elections all over the world. That's nothing new. The United States involves themselves in Russian elections and elections in all the little countries that are in the empire of the United States. So, people's attention can be drawn away from the real issues, just like people go to watch football games and basketball games and forget about all the other things as long as the attention is drawn to the wrong thing. And so the devils, like, a crazy president can get away with all kinds of nonsense. So, we need to get our attention put on the things that are really important.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, Nutris.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm fighting something that was trying to attack me, but I'm conquering this cold. I have a juice formula which combats it real well. David said some things I echoed some things that I actually have been posting on Facebook, especially about people talking about this Russian thing when the USA, nobody intervenes in other people's country as much as the USA. And Russia has never intervened in the affair of this country as much as this country have intervened in their country. And I think it is beginning to sound so puerile when I hear people keep talking about this Russian thing. They have taken the bar down so low. However, I want to respond to something you said about Trump. And I always have to remind people, I am no way a Trump supporter, especially after what he did to the Central Park Five. So I want people that to be clear in people's minds that I am not here proselytizing for Trump. However, like David, I'm one of the things that I'm looking at is we're distracted by Trump rather than a system which is the product of Trump or Trumps to be. And also, there were Trumps before Trump. It's just that they weren't acting like buffoons. We're responding to Trump because the Trumps before Trump did not behave like buffoons. For example, you speak about Trump threatening Maduro of Venezuela, and I admire Maduro just like I admired Chavez before him. What did Bush do to Chavez? He went worse than Trump. They actually physically tried to overthrow Maduro. I mean, Chavez. What did Bush do to Aristide of Haiti? Worse than Trump. They actually, Aristide had won the election one time by 70-something percent, and I think one time almost 90%. And yet, Condoleezza, Colin Powell and Bush went down there and physically removed the man from his country, and he was democratically elected. So I'm saying for us to point out Trump when Trump still, in many ways, have not done anything as vicious as what Bush did, but because Trump is a buffoon and we feel embarrassed, we're responding. We're more concerned about him embarrassing us than the wickedness of the others. What did they do to Libya? Worse than what Trump is suggesting. And who came to the aid of Libya? Nobody. You know?
Here's what I'm concerned about. I'm not so concerned about comparing Bush and Trump and so forth. I'm interested in what is our reaction? What was the people's reaction here in the United States that allowed so much craziness to go on, so much illegality to go on? Why didn't the people really step up to the plate?
But they have never stepped up to the plate. So why
That's
are
not
we
true.
Expecting them to step
that
up to
is
the
not
plate
true.
Now?
I'm asking, don't you think it's a very important question to ask? What do we, let's say we consider ourselves informed and so forth, but we're talking to ourselves. What are we doing? What impact are we having on these kinds of bizarre so-called policies? What are we doing?
We've got to have a long-term plan, and the plan must not just include Trump. It must include changing the system so a Trump will not occur again. Not only a Trump, but a Bush will not occur again. That an illegal invasion of a Libya will not occur again. That, like David said, that we would have a country where they don't need soup kitchens. You know, and when Thanksgiving times or Christmas time come, they go out and hand out turkeys, you know, in a so-called rich country, and a country like Libya, where they don't need to go hand out no turkeys. We have a black man, Obama, and this white wicked woman, Hillary, murdering that leader who had designed a government where you didn't need to hand out turkeys. And we, the people, were not outraged about them killing someone like that, but yet we were embracing presidents who caused us to have to hand out turkeys at Thanksgiving and Christmas time.
Okay, we don't disagree there at all. I'm asking, you have any idea, any suggestion as what should be happening in situations like that? What should our position be?
But I'll give you a quick one. Take your forum, Utrecht, and I used to like what you did in Talkback at WBI, because your talkback show at WBA, what I liked about it then, it motivated us to do something. And I think we should organize, like when you had that meeting in Brooklyn when you came to that church, I think we should, again, have something like this and come together and start to spearhead something that will spread, where we educate the people and we start to mobilize the people. The same way the George Soros's use their money to mobilize the people, we should use our knowledge and our camaraderie to mobilize, saying, let them understand, okay, we don't have money, but we have us. And then we're going to let this spread like wildfire, where we start educating each other, etc.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But thank you all for contributing today. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks again for listening and contributing. Bye-bye.